Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Dun 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 dun, Jumanji drums part 2.
Wow, I did not know you were gonna do that. You threw me for a loop there.
That was one of my notes. Jumanji drums.
Do, 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 do.
I wish like we should get that as like a
one of our things.
Yeah.
Like our little beep, we would press a little button
and you'd be like dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. That brings us to our life.
First
listeners,
of all,
welcome
to the On Call Room, a Grey's Anatomy podcast with your host.
I'm Abby.
And I'm Brie.
And this is fucking part 2.
Part 2, motherfuckers.
Of the ferry boat massacre.
Of a 3-part episode. But we're doing it in 2.
I know that is confusing.
Whatever.
Listeners, we really love you because we could have done this. Like, done 3 separate episodes and been in the bank, like, 2 episodes. That didn't make any sense. To me, it did. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We could have made it so we had more episodes ready to go in the bank.
Yeah,
but we thought you deserved this in 2 parts.
Oh, excuse me. Whoa. I just ate a cookie. Don't worry, guys. No pantry for me tonight.
Oh, the cleaning lady must have picked it up.
Oh, it's
because
gone.
I left it on this thing, and I remember the next day forgetting that. And so she was probably like, "Why the fuck is there pancetta right here?"
She probably didn't know what it was.
That's
if I saw like a small piece of pancetta, I wouldn't be like, "That's pancetta," and why is it there? I'd be like, "That's a crumb."
Maybe she ate it.
Well, it was up my butt and around the corner. Threw my tubes out my boobs.
Yep.
So.
Anyway. Oh, another fun thing. We're discussing what we should talk about. But another fun episode that we should do in the future is like Oprah, but do Brie and Abby's favorite things.
Why don't we just do that right now? Or do we have to think about it?
I think we need to think about like our true favorite things.
Raindrops on and roses and whiskers on kittens.
How many kittens?
All of the kittens and kittens and kittens. I love kittens and kittens and kittens.
Kittens and are kittens. A few of my favorite things. I think I can sing well when I just do the pretend singing voice.
Okay, do it.
No, I can't under pressure now. It only comes out. But like, you
under
know.
Under pressure.
I can't do it. Okay, listeners. We've been at this for 1.5 years now.
Shit.
I know.
It's been a good run. Thanks, everyone.
This is the end.
Good night and good luck.
We're on the, like, bottom half of season 3.
The bottom half?
I mean, if it was a hill, we'd be going downhill.
That doesn't feel good.
Well, like, you know.
But then do we go back uphill
for
season 4?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're on a roller coaster.
There you go. Yeah.
We're
screaming and peeing our pants
and
spitting everywhere.
Cool.
We thought it might be kind of fun for, I mean, I know some of you know, we talk about inside jokes and you're probably like, fuck you guys all the time.
Then don't listen.
But we, thought we would give a little history of how we are even friends.
Yeah. Because it was not Grey's Anatomy that brought us together, surprisingly.
What was it? If you could pick one thing.
The theater.
Musical.
The theater.
I'm trying to remember, though, the first time that I met you. It had to have been in the plays.
It was in the play. I remember.
It was Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, and I thought you were super cool.
I wasn't like, cool. You were wrong.
Like, too cool for me to be friends with.
No.
Yeah.
It's only because I was friends with that guy named Danny.
Yeah, and you had, like, cool glasses and cool hair, and you wore tie-dye all the time.
All right, listeners, let me talk about that. I was wearing very small square glasses, and I used to straighten my side-swept bangs.
It
like,
was cool.
I don't know. That's interesting you think that, because I was definitely not cool.
Like, out of our friend groups, I still think you were cool in high school.
I'm cooler now than I was then.
I don't know. You were really cool to me.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I thought you were, and I still think this, like, my funniest friend.
So not cool. You did not look at me and think, wow, she's cool.
I thought
Damn it.
No, but I thought it was cool to be friends with you. Do you know how like it was cool to be friends with people in a different grade?
Yeah.
Like I thought like you made me cooler being friends with you.
Hmm. But I wasn't cool. I was definitely not cool.
I thought we were on the same level of cool.
I ate lunch in the bathroom.
That's I thought we were cool. on the same level of cool. Like I was like, oh, she isn't equal to me.
Which is pretty cool because I was younger than you.
Yeah, but you were so funny. You still are.
Thank you.
Like, it's the best. Some friends you have that are really good, but you don't ever laugh with them.
Yeah, we laugh too much.
Yeah.
No, we can never laugh too much. No. That's what life is about.
And so we were in Wizard of Oz.
I was in 9th grade. Abby was in 10th grade.
Yep. I was a munchkin.
I was a munchkin and a monkey.
I was in the Jitterbug.
The Jitterbug. That's not that no. song.
Were you in it? The Jitterbug? No. Okay.
What's that song?
The Jitterbug. I can't think of it right now. But yes, we did musical theater together. And then it wasn't until my senior year of high school that we were in dance together.
Was it really?
Oh, no. Sorry. Junior year.
Yeah.
So I bet we became friends. Yeah. My sophomore year. And then I was like, where do you dance at? I'm going to dance where you dance.
Yeah. And then we danced our little hearts out.
Yeah. When I think of our early phases of friendship, I think of musical theater. I think of Death by Dancing, a local band.
Yeah.
And I think of your
DVD,
car.
My car. Jimmy the GMC.
Yep. Cast parties.
Cast parties. Dance class.
What is that? Not Jamaican. What's the rapper that we always used to listen to in my car?
Shonda Paul.
Shonda Paul. Is he Jamaican? Somebody gave it to. Those are the things I think about when I think about our friendship.
I think about your mom being really cool.
You just thought everyone was cool.
No, I remember you having a cool house. Mm-hmm. And then your tie-dye. And then you taking photos.
Interesting.
And then tanning. Because we used to go tan after dance.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we'd be like, do you want to go tanning? Yeah, yeah. That's great. And then all the other shit you said. But those are things I think of with you.
It's interesting because I felt like we were always close friends, but not in our same friend groups. Like we had our own friend groups too. And then it just, I don't know, it doesn't surprise, I don't want to use the word surprise, but I'm always amazed that here we are today.
I know,
29,
we're best friends.
And we stayed friends.
Well, because then we went to Michigan State. So then we get out of high school.
And so I did 1 year at Michigan State first.
Yeah. And then I came and I feel like I didn't see you that much.
When I was a freshman?
No, when you were a sophomore and I was a freshman there. I went out with you guys on Halloween.
Yeah.
You have a photo of me on a toilet.
I went out with you on your 18th birthday. I came to your dorm.
But I went out with me. You drank in my dorm.
Yeah. I smoked my first and only cigarette then.
Yep. And tried to go in the calf with no shoes on.
Yeah. So we had a couple memories and then you left Michigan State.
Yeah. And then.
We stayed in touch though because you called me when you broke up with your boyfriend. Like we were still.
I did?
Yeah. We FaceTimed.
Oh, dude, I remember that.
I was in Wisconsin. It was we were friends. But so I feel like we're telling this for ourselves. Our listeners are like, wait.
Well, I feel like they need to know this because also time, just the idea of time. And then you can go kind of years without talking that much. And now
I think there's not a day that goes by
that we don't text
you
to each other.
So me moving back to Grand Rapids was big.
Yeah.
Because even the year I was in Wisconsin, we talked kind of.
Yeah.
And then once I was here, it just took off.
It really did. And then I think really once you moved
out of in this house. Yeah, because my apartment, I don't even remember you.
No, I was there a couple times.
But I can't picture it.
Oh, I can.
Yeah.
I feel it. I know. You made me sausage once there.
I made you sausage last week. We made sausage on Sunday together.
So true.
Yeah, so so listeners, it's one of those friendships where you there was periods where it ebbed and flowed, which actually I think all friendships are like that.
I think
when they struggle is when you force them when they're like in an ebb, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, when you're like transitioning, maybe you're doing something in your life
right.
that the other person can't really understand or catch up with, you
right.
know, whatever's going on. But when you don't have like the grace to allow your friend to do that and maybe not communicate as much with you.
Right.
That's when it gets all sticky and messy.
Because I think it's okay to sometimes go through periods where you don't talk to a person as often as you used to.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's ever out of like anger. It's just like life just sort of happens. And when you force it, that's when it gets weird. And like, I hate that part.
So yeah.
I appreciate that you never like made me feel bad for not talking or hanging out with you and vice versa.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes life fucking happens.
Yeah.
But then one day, Abby bought a microphone.
Yeah.
And was like, I want to start a podcast. And I was like, I want to start a podcast. And then here we fucking are. And we dedicate at least a night a week.
Yeah.
To this, if not more.
Right.
And we just drink and hang out.
I know. I wish we were getting paid.
I know.
I mean, it's fun to do it.
But I wish it could be our job.
Right. Think how good it would be if we could dedicate like our full job life to it.
Yeah, we would have like, for that person who left the review about us not really having any structure, we would have time to like structure our podcast.
Yeah.
So think about it. Think about donating.
Yeah. Also, though, I will say a huge shout out to Sonia, who's in the group, crushing it. She just welcomed our new members.
She should be paying. We should be paying her.
I know.
I saw that.
She's doing the medical files.
Did you say her name wrong?
Sonia. I know. I feel like I did, but I didn't want to go back and draw attention to it.
Well, I just did because,
Sonia.
Captain S.
Captain fucking S. Chief S.
Chief S. That's what we're going to call her.
Yeah, she's chief now. We're just fucking mere interns.
Yeah. But so if you want to be a part of the, or if you don't know what we're talking about the Facebook listener squad, you should, because you probably should have listened to other episodes and we've talked about it multiple times. This is the first episode you're listening to. Pause the podcast and go to middle of season two. Don't start from the beginning.
No, don't start in season one.
Anyway, if you want to be a part of it, you only have to donate $2 a month.
Yep.
I recently messaged a whole bunch of you who are in purgatory with a lovely message explaining this to you guys. I want you all to be a part of it. I want to press that approve button.
But I cannot
until you commit to donating $2 a month at www.patreon.com/theoncallroom.
Also, I almost cried when Bree told me that she did that because it made me so happy.
I mean, to be fair, I was a little buzzed up and I was like, I should do this right now.
It was fucking brilliant.
And because there's like 30 of you who want to be a part of this group. And I really, like, Captain S has created this great questionnaire that you can fill out and we can all get to know each other in the group.
Neither you or I have filled it out yet.
Are we supposed to? I feel like we talked.
Well, that's true. We could, though. I also laugh because
I'm going to look it up right now.
What's happening? Oh, we should do it live.
Yeah, let's just
do it live.
Yeah, keep going.
So it's also, I feel bad for all those people that Bree messaged because it's probably in their other inbox where they're never going to see it.
Some people accepted and they never responded. Oh, so that's fine.
We did get a new patron today, so maybe that was one of those people. But yeah, so we just love this like growing community so much. And it just blows my mind that there's actually been a project that Bree and I committed to that we've held on for a year and a half.
Where do I find this?
Go to her newest post and then she linked to it.
But what's stupid about the new Facebook is it's not the newest posts don't show up. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to look at it too.
Oh, wait, I got it.
You got it?
There we go.
So let's just pick some of our favorite questions, you know, because some I probably won't know like what my favorite whatever is, but let's go down and answer some of them.
Okay. So, what's your name, title, nickname? What would you like to be referred?
Abby.
Cool.
I was going to say chief, but we already gave that to.
Are you going to ask me?
I think you should ask me some first and then I'll interview you.
Okay. All right. So Abby.
Yes.
We already know when you started watching Grace. So, I don't know if I remember this, but what was the first episode you ever saw?
It would have been season one, episode one.
Okay, so
because
I started
from the beginning. Yep.
Wow, look at you doing it right. What's your favorite season?
Ooh, I think season three is like showing up hardcore for me now.
I'm feeling that way.
Yeah, season three is really good. I just know I also love the season finale of season five. So I think season five is good also.
Okay.
But frustrating.
Yeah.
Because this is just going to be a spoiler alert thing with like all the stuff with Rose and Derek. That pisses me off.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, some of these might be spoiler alerts, listeners.
Let's just say
what's your least favorite season?
Ooh, I bet it was probably one of the ones a couple years ago.
Yeah, like, that weren't so good.
Yeah, in that weird era.
Yeah. So
weirdly though, like I can't even think about it. I'm even the one right after Derek died.
Yeah.
That one was just like, what?
Yep. What is your favorite storyline?
Ooh, I really like the, okay, so we're spoiler alerting?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember being very intrigued by the Izzy George storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a while, I really thought that they were good together. Like, a part of me thought that that would be a thing.
Yeah.
So I was kind of invested in that. And along with that, just Karev, his storyline has always, I always root for him. And we'll talk about this is the beginning of Karev's horrible life.
14 years of it.
yeah.
An unpopular opinion you have about Grey's.
Ooh, I have a couple. One is that I feel like no matter how bad it would get, I'll still watch it.
Okay.
Like, I'm not one of those people that goes like, oh, if this happens, I'm not watching.
Like, I'm out.
I even know if Meredith died, I'd still watch.
I think
because I'd be curious how they go on.
Yeah.
and also, okay, we haven't watched these ones, but again, I sort of was on Team George Izzy.
Really?
For like, I really,
really
was sad when that didn't work out how I wanted it to.
Okay. Last question. How did you find the podcast?
Fuck you. It's literally in my drawer in a hard drive.
Cool.
Okay. Brie, name, title, nickname you want us to refer to you by.
BJ motherfucking Babs.
All right.
All right.
How many? Oh, I know that one. How did you get into Grey's?
My sister had got season one and season two on DVD for Christmas. And so, like, over Christmas break in high school, I, like, binge watched them.
I remember going, because I started watching them on DVDs too, renting them from my dorm. But it was summertime then, and I had to go to Blockbuster and rent them.
Yeah.
So fucking date that shit. Blockbuster.
Yeah. And so I remember, like, I watched them all and then started season three, like, live.
Yep.
Live.
Okay, least favorite character.
Owen Hunt. Not even
more than Izzy?
Yeah. That's not even a question.
Ready for this new season that's going to just
Jesus
be
fuck me Christ,
dude. All about Owen Hunt?
Oh, my God.
Okay. I'm going to add a question. Favorite friendship on the show?
Christina and Meredith.
Oh, duh. That was a stupid fucking question.
No, it wasn't.
Favorite season.
Ooh. That's hard. I really feel like I really like this season. And I didn't realize how much I like this season until I hashing
it. Yeah.
Even though I haven't like voted or like any of these, but the other one I really love, which isn't gonna make sense either because I just said I hate Owen Hunt. Is when the season when Teddy arrives.
Yeah.
I really love that season too.
Is that the one with her husband
season seven?
Too?
Yeah. Because I love like Christina's storyline with that.
Right. Okay. Death that made you feel the most.
Oh. That's hard. Probably. I want to say Derek, but I don't think it was actually.
We saw that one coming.
Right.
Which was frustrating. You know what I mean? Like the news was like, Derek's leaving.
Right. I know yours is probably George.
Yeah. I screamed.
Probably maybe Lexi.
Oh,
that one,
yeah,
or R. Sloan.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Those were hard.
Yep. And last question. And I like, can I ask the same one? An unpopular opinion you have about Grays.
Mm-hmm. An unpopular opinion. I'm trying to think about Jackson and April should have ended up together.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah.
Really screwed the pooch on that one.
Yeah, I think they should have been together. So there we have it.
Can you turn the gain up just a little bit?
Just a tad.
Okay, perfect. So, all right. So those are our medical files. Now we're there.
We did it.
Live. One night only.
BJ Babs.
Should we pause and then get into the episode?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. All the other fucking storylines.
I know.
So many of them.
I feel like let's talk about the parts that we felt.
Yeah. I love
it.
Like Chief's hair.
Oh my God. Let's talk a lot about that because this scene was incredible.
Yeah. I loved Addison sticking up for Chief.
Leave him be. Yeah. She just kept saying, I wrote Chief's motherfucking hair and Addison saying, leave him be. This is the good Grays.
Yeah.
Like this whole, and they all come in and they're all questioning him. It's, what is it? It's Burke, Derek, it's and Sloan.
Sloan.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the three like young hot men who are like, oh,
yeah,
Chief.
And then
he looks so ashamed.
I know. And then Derek has to like understand why. And he just like, Chief goes like, I dyed my hair. And then he goes, okay, but why? Or no, Burke says that. That was my favorite line in the elevator.
Yeah.
In his Burke-y voice, just like, okay, but why?
Like, obviously, like, why
like
does anyone...
Like, he's a scientist.
Yeah, like, why does anyone dye their hair? To feel better about themselves. Like,
right.
Adele fucking is with some other dude. Like,
right. Well, and then Chief, I think, says, like, you know, women notice men more when they don't have gray hair or something.
Right.
And Derek, asks, who do you want to be noticed by? Like, they're just idiots.
They're fucking idiots,
yeah.
Dude. Like, so dense. Like,
and Addison gives then like stands up for him, but also I feel like sort of embarrasses him.
Yeah, like in front of him.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Steps like behind him.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Whatever.
It was such a good scene though.
Yeah.
Can't you tell how fun it'd be to film that with all of those like rock
stars? I feel like you would have to like laugh a lot.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay, but why?
Yeah.
Burke, I can just picture it.
I feel like Bailey had a lot of teaching moments. I love when she says to Callie, like, your sex life cannot be held in my mind today. Correction, it cannot be held in my mind ever.
Which is how we all feel.
Yeah.
We have Sydney versus Bailey.
Yep.
Okay. Let's do a little workup of the little storyline. Like a,
yes.
Just to remind. So we have man trapped under a car that Izzy is helping.
Mm-hmm.
Which she calls them on the phone to Chief and Sloan.
Right. We have woman who's lost her son. Her name's Carly. And that is George's storyline.
Yep.
And we have smashed-faced pregnant woman. That's Karev's storyline.
Yep. Forever.
For the rest of
his
the
life.
Time. And Bailey is, like, dealing with Sydney and Chief Resident.
Right.
George and Callie have a thing going on,
right,
about like their dynamics.
Right.
There's a lot going on in these episodes.
I know. It's kind of hard. I feel like I'm going to have to go just through my notes to kind of like remind.
And then we have Christina, who is like, Burke's not letting her scrub in on shit because she's not telling people that they're engaged.
Right. And she keeps... And she's just looking for Meredith, and she just can't tell her. And
right.
Let's talk about Izzy first, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, the guy that's under the car with him, like the one that finds Izzy, was on Breaking Bad and is like very famous now. So good on you, sir.
I
always think that's that guy. Maybe it's not. I'll have to look it up. I've done this before. He looks like
I've actually never seen Breaking Bad.
It's so good. But yeah, so Izzy has to fucking act under pressure. in like an impossible situation.
Which she hasn't had to do.
No, not by herself.
Right.
In a really long time. Which I wrote, I can't even drill things into walls. I don't know that I could drill into a man's brain.
No. So, I mean, throughout the three episodes, she is panicking and then she like gains her confidence.
Right.
And I wrote in one of my notes, every time they say Burrholz, all I could think about was Aaron Burr from Hamilton. All I could hear was, pardon me, are you Aaron Burr, sir? Every time they were like, Burrholz.
I wrote, Burrholz sounds terrifying. Just in general, why are they called that? How can you survive with holes in your head was another question I had. Like, the fact that that relieves the pressure, but yet there's just like a fucking open air wound.
Yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't that hurt?
Well, I think he's in so much other pain.
Right, right. Do we know if this guy lives? I think we assume he might.
We assume he does.
Right. And so, yeah, Izzy does that all over the phone, and then they get back to the hospital, and she is allowed to... I feel like I wouldn't even... Like, it's her patient, and Chief wants her to go scrub in and finish it out, but I feel like, dude, you just, like, we're out in the elements screwing things into people's heads. Like, aren't you tired? Like,
yeah,
I don't know, but
she has her rock star moment.
Yeah. She's off probation. Yeah. I love the moment when she's like flaunting it in front of Christina.
And it's like, rock star.
Yeah.
I also wrote in my notes somewhere that I got like teary eyed when she was like, you're officially off probation. I don't know why, but I did. I want to just let everyone know that I cried multiple times throughout these three episodes. And that was one of the times I cried. I was like, she did it. I don't even like Izzy. I don't know why I was so emotional about that.
Okay, though. I like that whole moment with Izzy, too. But then I have a major fucking problem with Izzy.
About when she decides to tell or give her speech?
Yeah. So it starts out good. Mm-hmm. It starts out like, we need to believe in the good. Mm-hmm. I believe in the good. Meredith will get through this. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? You know, do that. And then she just says something about a mistake. And she turns to George and goes, like your marriage.
It's so uncalled for.
I literally wrote in all caps, why the fuck would Izzy bring up Callie? LOL, what is happening?
Yeah, it was like, and why didn't anyone tell her to shut the fuck up?
Yeah.
Like, dude, why are
George
you...
was like whimpering in a corner.
Yeah, it was just like, no, Meredith is like dying right now. And you're like, I get to tell you how I feel. And it's like, actually, Izzy, no, I don't think you do. Like, I don't think you get a say in this.
No, it was so, and it didn't even make sense at the time. Like, none of it made sense. It's like, maybe they just needed to get this argument conversation in this episode somehow.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, like, I can't even imagine if your friend is dying and then someone turns to you and is like, and by the way, your marriage is a sham.
Yeah, it's just like, what?
Yeah.
No, that was... I thought, honestly, it was poor writing.
Yeah, it just didn't... It seemed weird.
It didn't flow. It, like... It didn't make sense to me.
No. So, that happened. So, we all know the aftershock of this is not going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote... Why did I write... Oh, I like in that moment, though, since we're talking about that. So, you know, like, they're all... George is, like, crying because Meredith is there. Christina arrives. And I really feel like Karev is the best in crisis. Mm-hmm. Like, he... Because maybe he's, like, kind of heartless sometimes.
Yeah.
But he, like, he's one that he puts his arm on Christina. Like, he, like, does this sweet... And I, like, wrote that down because I was, like, George is crying. Izzy's fucking going off on her soapbox. And Greg puts his arm on Christina.
I didn't notice that.
And I just loved that because I feel like he's possibly the only sane one in that minute.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that scene was intense.
And then Christina...
Christina, we can just talk about what she does.
She's just, like, goes to a dollar store... And then goes to the bar and is like...
Shows off all her purchases.
Yeah, like, I'm like, so look at all my crap. Like, whatever. I'm coping. I'm dealing. And I did appreciate that Bert came to the bar and was like, you know, Christina was like, I'm a scientist pretty much. Like, I know how this ends.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't. And then I liked that Burke didn't do the, like, God thing.
Yeah.
He was like... come say goodbye to your friend.
Right.
You know, I think that's like the first time that Burke in situations like that didn't call upon like a higher being.
I also think maybe though Burke also thought like this, like, she's not coming back.
Oh, I think so too. But like, even with like George's dad, he was still like, I'll pray with you, whatever.
Right, right.
He just wasn't like that with Christina. He knows. I appreciated that because Christina like doesn't need that or want that.
Right. And we learned too, like, this was like, then we learned about Denny saying that Christina's dad died in a car accident and she saw him bleed out. And then I just wrte, Christina can't see people suffer. Cause it talks, it calls back to the Burke thing. He's like, you were there for me. And, and she's like, once I knew you were okay.
Yeah.
That's like her line. So I feel like we learn a thing about Christina too, that she does not handle like that well, like losing someone.
Yeah.
It's like, she can't deal with it until she knows how it's going to go.
Right. Knows what the outcome is going
to
be.
Yep. I'm going to wait to talk about the last Izzy thing till the end. So I feel like, do you have anything else on Izzy really in the car man?
No, I feel like, oh, well, there's a quote, stop the drill or you'll pierce his brain. I was like, whoa, like, she's obviously very nervous. Like, I don't know that I would phrase it in that way. When they're like trying to help her and like, make sure you stop the drill or you'll pierce his brain.
Also that those guys are all listening to that. And like, that would be very hard to see a drill going into your friend's head.
Yeah. I also wrote, dude's going to have some nasty ass scars.
Yeah. Just a bunch of holes in his head.
Yeah. And I know like it's better to be alive and have scars than to be dead. But still, I had to write that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't have anything else really about her. Should we talk about Karev?
Yes.
Because see, not only does he have the smashed face lady, but he's also dealing with all of the families who don't know.
Which would be an impossible task.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's brilliant that he uses the photo or the camera.
I think I wrote something like, oh, Karev with the dead photos. So sad. Like, like the part when he's like, these are the deceased.
Yeah.
Which he like teams up with Sydney in that moment, which I actually wrote. I think when they're telling the people, these are the people who did not make it. I wrote a note in here somewhere that Sydney would be the one I might want a hug from.
Oh my God. And when she's walking around with juice and like crackers.
Yeah.
And
like
shit,
there like, is times Sydney is annoying. There's also times that she is the right person for the job.
She's really good in crisis.
Yeah. And
she has like a sensitive.
Right.
Soul.
She kind of reminds me of like early Arizona, like super bubbly.
She kind of reminds me of April a little bit.
Yeah.
Too.
Yep. And I still respect her now after that last time we, I think, saw her when she like, you know, kind of stood up for herself.
Yeah.
So Karev is at the scene. He tags this woman that she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
She's not dead. Mm-hmm. She's terrifying looking, literally to this day, haunting a little bit to me.
Yeah, that, I wrote, at one point, Karev turns to her and says, breathe through the pain. And I said, her face is literally smashed in. Like, who says that to someone when their face is like...
Right. Yeah. One of my notes is, okay, smushed in face is actually scaring me.
Yeah. It's and like her teeth are all fucked up.
Yeah. And she's pregnant and Karev fucking carries her. Again, how?
He carries her?
Well, he has to get her out of there.
Yeah. Also that scene where he's like, immediate. It's like terrible acting. I'm sorry. Like, we need help down here. Like, this is bad. It's really, really bad. So he tags her as dead and then she moves her leg or her hand.
And there's a lot of scenes where they're looking into each other's eyes.
Yeah. And then she thinks that they're married.
She sees Karev's face a lot with that, from that blurry, terrifying angle.
Yeah.
And then, she thinks it's her husband. She's just annoying to me.
Well, and I think she's even more annoying because we know the storyline
right,
of this.
Right.
Rebecca.
Yeah.
Fucking Rebecca.
Yeah. And like Karev, it's weird. Although Karev does get sensitive with patients sometimes, but he like, isn't the like man effect of like, he feels like he rescued her and
like the hero complex.
Yeah. Like, do you think that's what's going on?
Something. I don't know.
Cause it's not like I don't know. I guess she is a damsel in distress, but she's also a smushed in face in distress. You know, like, it's interesting. And then, you know, he gets put on to deal with the families and he gets pissed because he wanted to stay with her.
Right. And do we think, so he gets pissed, do we think he wants to be on like a good surgery or he's like emotionally attached?
I think both. Yeah. Think a little bit of both. And it's Addison that sends him away, isn't it? I think. Mm-hmm. Or no.
It's Chief.
Okay, yeah. And Addison is working on the patient too, which mm-hmm. is a weird triangle because
right.
him and Addison sort of are interesting together.
Yeah, because she's all going through this thing that she feels like no one would notice if she disappeared.
Which is so not true, first of all.
Yeah.
Another thing on that topic, though.
Yeah.
It's just sad.
So she's going through some shit. And then Karev is like, I would notice. So there's like oh, some yeah. like yep. romantic whatever going on with that. And then I wrote, like, he gets like all mad at the families who are like screaming at him.
Yeah.
And Sydney's like, you know, do you need a second? Like, or do you need a hug or something? And I was like, Sydney's teaching moments are a lot different than Bailey teaching moments.
Yeah. Like they're calm.
Yeah. Bailey's super gentle like, and emotional. And
right. Which we didn't talk about this, but Bailey gave, we should have talked about it last week, but Bailey gives Meredith
the teaching moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what did and she even say? Like, it was like, I feel like you better wake up.
Yeah. And like we put all this time and
oh,
energy
yeah,
into
yeah. It was all her like education.
Yeah. Like I wrote Bailey teaching moment to a dead Meredith. Like so ridiculous.
Yep.
But good. It was very Bailey, you know?
And yeah, so this is just interesting for Karev because also I don't think he's ever gotten attached to a patient this quickly and we're going to see this snowball. And it's just also interesting too because I don't want to jump too far ahead, but like he judges Izzy so hard for getting emotional with mm-hmm. patients in general. And I feel like he's already in this one like a little too curious about this mm-hmm. girl going in there and asking her questions and like,
yeah.
So,
and we'll like see. A lot of hand holding.
Right. Right. Yeah. Eye glances.
Eyes and things. And yeah.
Yeah. So there's that.
George. So with the little boy, I wanted to know, what would you do in, would you lie to the mom and say you found the
I son? Felt like that was the right move yeah, like, in that moment.
Yeah, Bailey was like, what is she going to do? But I agreed. I was like, Bailey, like, what else was he supposed to do? She wouldn't have allowed them to do surgery.
Right, right. They can't forcefully, like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, because we've experienced that on an episode before.
Right, where they lied just to get, I feel like that was totally necessary. I will say, I think he fucked up in the beginning by promising this woman. Like, we've learned that on Grey's 1,000 times. You never promise anyone anything.
Right. So I also said that had Callie just let George ask for help while he was on the phone looking for this boy, none of this would have happened.
Because, wait, explain that part. I feel
okay.
Like
so Callie, and the end of the episode, or like I think the last episode, Callie is actually doing like performing surgery on the little boy that George is looking for.
Oh.
And there's this whole rift going on between them that like she feels like he is very inappropriate with her at work and she's his superior. So while that whole thing is going on, in the middle, he's on the phone and he's like, Callie, I like need your help. And she's like, I can't help you. I'm going into surgery. And he was literally looking for this boy. And it was so irritating to me because I was like, this could have all been
right
saved. And then George's response is like, Callie, I'm going to make love to you or whatever he says. Like, and she's like, okay, thanks very much. But I'm like, why are you like in love? Like, she literally could have saved you running around this fucking hospital.
Right, right. Yeah, I didn't even catch that scene because I forgot until I saw it that that was the boy.
Yeah. So that really, I don't know. And I know why they did that, but it bothered me. But I wrote a lot of notes about Callie and George's relationship is very strained right now.
It's been strained since the day they got back.
Yeah. It's been strained since they started dating.
Yeah, because even when George's dad was dying, he didn't want her to be a part of it.
Yeah, and no one liked them together to begin with. And it's,
Which is interesting because I didn't really like them together either. But when I first started, there was no problems. Like, it was like...
No. Well, it was... Callie was just, like, super emotional and said, like, she loved George and was super head over heels.
Right.
He was like, I'm not ready to say I love you. I just, like...
It's never been smooth sailing. Like, there's not been a moment where it's good.
No. I do not like their relationship at all.
My favorite moment of their relationship was when George walked in on the Chief and Callie in
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, and she was in her fucking underwear. So weird.
But yeah, so this storyline is, I feel like it's frustrating for your right, because now that you know that, and I feel like George should be used somewhere else. Like, aren't there people that need help in operating?
Right, he's like running around looking for this child, which I get, it's important.
But there's a million other.
There's like a ton of surgeries
people missing. Too, you know what I mean? Like, all of those people on the board didn't have family members.
But that's, like, very much, like, what George gets shoved into.
Yeah, and he gets, like, fixated on it, too.
Yeah. I did love the part where George turns the body the right way in the morgue, and he's like, don't tell me to grab it, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I was like, that's such a good example of, like, who George is as a human and as a doctor.
Right.
Like, I don't even think... Like, Meredith, Karev, Christina, even Izzy, I don't know, like, maybe Izzy.
Yeah.
But, like, he has morals, and he believes in, you know, like, with the Burke and Christina story, like, it was not okay what they were doing. Like, he's a very moral-driven character. Right.
I feel like he's, yes, he, there's not a lot of gray for him.
No.
There's, like, black and white. I also feel like it might be super fresh because his dad just died, too.
Right.
Which is why it always makes me think, whenever they say the word morgue, I just think of that line that Izzy said when she's like, and now he's in going, the morgue. And
yeah.
Yeah, and, like, so I appreciated that conversation, too, because, yeah, they are bodies. They are people.
Yeah, they... Our people.
It
they
was
were
so
living beings.
Sad that moment when Karev, he so wants the Jane Doe to be that guy's wife.
I know.
And then he shows him the other photo, and it's like an instant.
Like realizing that his wife is dead.
Which I'm surprised, like, they were just putting her in a body bag. How are they, when were they going to do the identifying of all of that?
I don't know. Like, I don't know how that works in, like, a
crisis situation.
Crisis with, like, all these. Because you have to put the bodies somewhere.
Right, right.
And, like, if they don't have IDs on them, like.
Right.
How do you.
I don't know.
Identify them?
I don't know. That part was so sad. I, like, cringed, though. To see. To not only find out your person is dead, but they're, you know, pregnant with a 7-month-old baby, and that they. To see a photo of her dead.
Right.
Like that's like three terrible things in one.
Well, and I've thought about like when like people get in accidents or if people are shot or whatever, like you have to often like a family member has to identify the body.
Yeah.
Like that would be in your brain.
I've seen it on SVU a lot of times.
Yeah, I have too. Yeah. And that would be really, really sad.
Right.
I know, like, friends who have had to do that, like parents, and that is just...
Yeah. Awful.
Horrible.
And
it's
also...
It's kind of like funerals, though, too, like going to visitations.
It's the last thing you see.
Yeah.
I also don't... I'm curious, this is, like, not serious, sorry, I just jumped the ship, but, like, how... Why did the hospital have a Polaroid? Those are hashtag vintage and...
Yeah, that is...
Wait, who had it first? George.
George, and why did he have any? He took a picture of Callie.
Yeah.
Like, while she was talking, that was, like, and I understood, like, we were, that was to introduce this Polaroid camera, which, like, I get, but also, like, why?
Right.
And maybe you do have to have Polaroids for, like, shit like
medical
that, like,
thing,
more,
yeah.
Like.
I don't know. It was interesting.
Well, I don't know, like, maybe for, like, crime things, Polaroids? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think they use them anymore. It's all digital.
That would make sense.
Because you just, like, put them on a computer.
I know, like, you can get, like, a photo series done at my dermatologist for all your moles. And so, like, you can have the photos to then, like, reference all year long.
Yeah.
Like, if your mole... Because it's hard looking at them and, like, did this change or not.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's digital. It's on, like, a CD.
Right.
Like,
now I'm laughing thinking about them using, like, a super hip, like, Instax camera.
Yeah,
like yours.
Yeah.
George got it in Vegas, you know? Just
yeah.
To, so that was a thing.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about Burke? Do you think he's justified in his frustration with Christina or...
No. Well,
yeah.
I think, like, he needs to know, like... If he's going to marry Christina, he needs to understand, like, who Christina and Meredith are together.
Right.
And that's literally the only person she wants to tell. And she asked Burke specifically not to say anything until she has the opportunity to talk to Meredith. And then he fucking brings it up to Derek. And then Sloane overhears it, and so then Chief does, and then Chief congratulates her.
Right.
I'd be fucking pissed. I'd be like, that was the one person I wanted to tell.
Right, right.
And then he's like, go to the pit.
Yeah. I hate when they use their authority to, like, punish them. I think that's, like...
When they're in a relationship.
Right.
It does not seem fair at
all.
No,
no. I do like this... I did like the scene when Burke is talking to Derek about it, and then, like, Sloane walks in, and it's, like, a perfect example, again, of how Sloane, like, never fits in with them.
Oh, no.
Like, he...
And I feel like, though, Sloane doesn't fit in, but I feel like this is, like, and the last episode of these is, like, the moment that, like... Derek and him kind of reconcile.
Totally.
When he like comes to be with Derek and support him.
Right.
And doesn't have to say anything.
And Derek doesn't push him away.
No, like I think he wants him there.
Right.
You know, and Sloane doesn't go in to try and help Meredith.
No, he's just sits by Derek.
Like there to support his friend.
I also thought too, this was the least douchebaggery of Sloane so far. Like he had, didn't have as many one-liners as he normally does.
So another thing about Sloane and Addison at the end there.
Oh, yeah. She challenges him to 60 days of no sex.
Right.
Which I thought was a little bit of a long time. I felt like that's maybe like a 30-day challenge. Yeah.
But 60 days is a long time. And I think it's fair for him to be like, well, if I'm not having sex, you're not having sex.
Right, right. And then Karev walks by.
And she's like, who would I be having sex with? Obviously.
To Karev. I also think that it's interesting. I just think 60 days is a long time.
That's way too long. No one should have to go through
that. I feel like neither of them are going to make it past this. Yeah. Someone's going to cave.
Yeah. And I wanted to say something else about that. Maybe it wasn't about that. Shoot, what was it about? Krev.
Sloane. Douchebags. Sex. Addison.
I know what I wanted to talk about. Derek. When he goes in and is, like, freaking out on Ellis, and then Addison comes to him and is like, what are you doing? And that's when Derek is like, she knows how to swim. And, like, Addison is like, you think she did this on purpose?
Right.
And that's when he realizes, like, Ellis, I think, Ellis was lucid. Meredith is sinking in a bathtub. And now, you know... And so when he goes in to talk to Ellis, I don't know if you noticed this, but he was like rubbing Ellis's hair so hard. You know, like how he like,
It was creepy.
Yeah. He was like,
yeah, I didn't like that scene because she, in that moment, like Addison says, she's not like, she's just a woman. Like,
right. And he's like taking out all his frustration that his girlfriend's dying. I get that.
And then she has like a heart issue and dies.
Yeah. So way to go.
You're right. I forget that he says that to Addison. And also, doesn't Addison kind of like give Meredith the benefit of the doubt? She's like, you don't know that. Like, doesn't she say something? She doesn't like agree.
Yes. Yeah,
like
she does. Right. She doesn't agree with him.
So right away, Derek is already concerned about that.
Yeah. And that comes up in like the last episode of the three.
Yep.
Do you want to talk about
what
Denny
ever.
Says to Meredith and then the last that leads into the last
scene. So doesn't he say to Meredith that there's moments where they're in the same place at the same time and he can feel her or something like
that? He says you only get moments with the people you love and sometimes... Because he like stops Meredith and he closes his eyes and he was like, it's Izzy, you know? And I like, sometimes I can hear her voice or whatever.
Right.
So it's like...
Acting is phenomenal.
Yeah, he creates this beautiful imagery of like what it would be like to like see Izzy. Cut to fucking final scene, dude.
The song By My Side is playing, which who sings that?
I don't know, but I fucking love that song.
It's such a good song.
Because my last note is, wow, tears, look at this. Denny with Izzy. Like, so many GGBs. Like, I can rewatch that scene and sob every time. On cue. Like, turn that scene on. I don't even need, like, the buildup of, like, Denny talking to Meredith. Like, just that. With the song playing perfectly.
Yeah. How it's filmed so that you get, like, because they're in the same exact spot in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And like Izzy stops.
Yeah.
And I thought too, it was interesting. For some reason, I thought her reaction was going to be like sadness, but it was like joy. Like she.
Because she brings up too, when in her like weird speech about like George, I believe it, her beliefs.
Yeah.
She says like, I believe Denny is still with me.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
And then it shows that he is.
Right.
And it's like, it's super emotional because I don't know what you think about the afterlife. And that would be a fun question to talk about when you hear some, there's so much death in this show. And I don't know exactly what I believe, but it's a nice feeling thinking that someone would somehow be able to still be with you.
Yeah. Like you could have moments where you feel that person. And I think it's one thing that like, cause I think we all with people we've lost have moments where we like feel
it literally stops you in your tracks.
Right. But to think that they're there feeling you also is a cool way to think about it.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was like, for how sci-fi that episode was, it was an incredible way to bring it back and make it less like weird. You know what I mean? Like it was like truly magical.
And like round out like Izzy in her reality.
Right. I wrote, holy shit, the song By My Side was on my iPod forever and ever. And then I wrote, Izzy and Denny in the same place, sobbing, wow, I have GGBs.
Yeah. You save me.
I have the, it's actually called Swans, and it's by Uncle, Uncle Bob. Okay. Oh my God, the lyrics. Cause I'm fake. Okay. I'm fake at the seams. I'm lost in my dreams. I want you to know that I can't let you go and you're never coming home again.
Oh my God.
By my side. You'll never be by my side. You'll never be. I see you. You see me differently. You tell me that you love me, but you never want to see me again.
And that like, I feel like that lyric is like applicable too. Like,
Meredith and Derek.
Well, that and also like kind of Izzy and Denny. Like, I think she kind of wants to move on.
Right.
But like, can't.
Right.
And she loves him. And that plays out later on in like another season.
Yep.
And I just thought it was, it is a classic Beautiful Grey's moment. I have no problems with that.
It might be one of my favorite.
I agree.
Grey's moments also.
It makes me love Izzy. Like, I like her response to it. And then she kind of holds her breath. And then, and doesn't he say Izzy? He says her name.
We'll have to like,
I think. Yeah. And then she just doesn't really do much and she kind of lets out a breath and then
keeps walking.
She like kind of lifts her chin up a little higher and moves on.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
So beautiful.
And I just think too, cause we didn't have that much time with Izzy and Denny, but it like hit us all. So it's nice to have these moments where they're so close, you know?
And you know, like rewatching all of these, it makes me think like, when we rewatched season two, it made us realize, wait, there really wasn't that much time with Izzy and Denny.
Right.
But I think like putting their whole storyline.
Yeah, it's still going and it's almost the end of season three.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it was nice to see him again too. I love him. I love his character.
I know. Do you think Bomb Squad has moments with Meredith? In the hallway. He's just forever trapped in that hallway.
That would be so, that would be terrible afterlife. Like haunting Meredith. Like, you fucked me over, dude.
And then I want to hit on two, because we didn't talk about this yet, which is, I think it's the last scene, or it's right before that scene. Richard goes and talks to Ellis's body. And I don't know what his whole speech was, but he says, I miss you.
I know.
And that just like,
Well, and so he's working on saving Meredith's life.
Right.
And then
which must be exhausting.
Yeah, come to find out after that, he, I'm sure, is told Ellis died while you were like
so in there. So he wasn't even in there.
No.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't get to say his goodbye or whatever. And he like says something, I think, about being like selfish or whatever. Like, oh, he talks about how like this disease was really hard on you and stuff, and I'm being selfish, but like I miss you. Like,
right.
Wasn't ready for her to go. You know what I mean?
Oh, that I just hate. I hate sad Chief. It's my favorite or my least favorite part of Chief.
I know.
But yeah.
Yeah, I wrote poor Chief with Ellis. I also love this. Like, take it back just a second. This note. Christina, when Meredith starts waking up and she gets kind of like mad at her and she's like, your brain works.
Like, oh yeah. For saying, and that's like, cause she says, ouch. And that's it.
She's like, try again, whatever. Also, I've always thought it was really weird how she doesn't really touch Meredith's face. Like, if you notice, like,
she's just
Christina,
like,
has her, like, both of her hands around her head, but is not actually touching her.
Weird.
And I don't know if that's on purpose. Like, that was a directional thing. Like, that's just who Christina is. Or if that's how she just, like, acted it out. But
right. I've always thought
every
that was
time I watch that episode, I'm like,
I didn't even notice that. But now it makes me want to go back and watch it.
Yeah.
I'm just calling back to, like, any stray notes that we have.
Yeah.
I loved Derek's in the waiting room in a sweater, which how did he change out of his sweats in a sweater? And that nice man just says, like, I'll put her in my prayers.
Yeah.
I thought that was sweet. And I thought it was really interesting for Derek to be a patient, like family.
Yeah, the family.
Right. Also within there, there's a Damien Rice song on the last episode.
Yeah.
So that last episode has, like, all of my favorite songs.
Yep.
Because all of a sudden they had, like, one word in it, and then I started singing it. I was like, it's Damien Rice.
This is, like, a really random note, but in the very beginning, it's, like, the opening scene pretty much right before they see the ferry boat accident. George helps everyone out of the rig. Every single person, he jumps out, even Karev. He puts his hand out, and I don't know why it touched me so deeply, but I was like, that's a good guy. Like, he got out and he helped all the women out and then helped Dick Karev out too.
Right. I'm telling you, there are, like, season two George is not my, or season three beginning with all the stuff with his dad is not my favorite version of George, but I think the next few seasons are.
Yeah.
Because I truly think, like, he's one of the best dudes.
He is.
He has some problems.
He does, like, but
I'm going to make a prediction that season four George is what will remind me why I like him so much.
I bet.
Because it definitely wasn't Mousy Intern. It's not when he sleeps with Meredith. It's not, you know, like, and maybe this will validate why I've been feeling, like, confused as to why I liked him so much.
Yeah. The little girl. Oh, we talked about
that. That's all I had.
I think that's pretty much all I have. The only thing is just a little fashion note here. Has Meredith ever worn a pink turtleneck sweater ever again?
She wears V-neck sweaters a lot.
V-necks, yeah, but this is like a pink turtleneck sweater.
It was that a bad day for her.
Yeah, not.
There's two goofs.
Ooh, yes.
Okay, this is in the last episode. In this episode, Meredith states that Elizabeth Fallon died of liver cancer, but in no man's land, Elizabeth had a diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. Is that the scrub nurse?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a writer's mistake.
Yeah, that sucks.
Another goof. As a doctor, Derek should have known that being a good swimmer wouldn't be enough for Meredith to get out of such cold water. Combined with the exhaustion of attending to the injured, the clenching of her body would have made it nearly impossible for Meredith to keep herself afloat, let alone swim back to the dock.
So it must be really fucking cold in that water. We're talking Titanic cold?
I don't know. Titanic cold. I mean, Seattle's cold.
Yeah.
How did Derek do okay? Because he was swimming? Like, or he had a purpose?
He had a purpose. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Oh, and the song Some Kind of Miracle is by Kelly Clarkson. It's a Kelly Clarkson song.
What's some... the title of the episode?
That must have been, like, new Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She hasn't been around that long. She was hot. Hot off the press.
So.
Also, I thought it was interesting. I was looking at the viewership, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the first one had, like, 22, let's say, and the last one had 27
million. Oh, so people, like.
So people, like, got hooked.
Yeah. Caught up to it.
Yep.
Are we going to rate it?
I think we rate it as a whole.
Are we ready to rate it? Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to be bold and say that I like this better than the Bomb Squad part 1 and 2.
Okay.
Like, this to me was much better, and I liked that. What did I even rate that? A 9, maybe?
Yeah.
This might be my first Grey's 10.
Wow.
I feel like we have to have one at some point.
You know, I would feel confident in giving it 10 scalpels. As a whole.
Right, as a whole.
It gave me all of the things. There were funny moments in it. Everyone had, like, a different storyline. There was, like, the drama. There was the love factors. Yeah. But then there were so many GGBs. Right. I cried so much. The songs were all great.
I'm going to give it a 10. I'm not afraid to.
I'm going to Do it with you.
And this makes me feel good because now we have a 10, so we know what we're rating up against.
Yeah.
Like before it was like,
yeah.
What is a 10?
But this is definitely a 10 episode to me.
Oh, yeah. And it just like.
Or episodes, I guess.
It had a giant disaster. This was this like the first time a main cast member was like actually like dead and then alive? You know, like.
Yeah.
I mean, like Burke got shot. Meredith had that, something happened to her. I forget what.
She had appendicitis.
Yeah. Christina had the miscarriage.
Yeah. But this was
this is like big time.
Yeah. This was the first time they took some risks.
And I also, when I think about this, it makes me like the Denny, like you said, the Denny storyline, but like that finale even more, like this helps me better relate all of the
things.
Like it adds weight to all of that stuff.
Yes. Wow. 10 scalpels, guys.
Dun, dun, dun. 10.
Does that mean? What does
that's
mean?
Our music.
Oh, I like it.
But yeah, so that's exciting.
All in all, I feel like, I'll be very interested what we rate next. Because I feel like there has to be like a downer.
Yeah,
episode.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You can't have this like, but I feel like a lot has happened in season 3. You've got like George's dad, proposals.
Yeah.
Meredith dying, coming back. And then if we think about the season 3 finale, like, this is some epic season.
Season 3 is fucking good.
Yeah, it's packed full.
Yeah, because season 2, the only really big thing was Denny, the Denny thing.
Yeah.
So, great.
Wow. All right. Well, if we don't have anything else.
We don't.
Check us out on Patreon and Instagram.
We'll put the links in the show notes.
At the On-Call Room Pod. I almost said .com. Don't put that in there. And do you want to call Time of Death?
Sure.
I called Time of Death last week.
Time of Death. Oh, I want to wait. I'm going to just do it. Time of Death is 22.
It's 2200.
Oh. Time of Death, 2200. Is that how they say that?
Yeah.
We've never had one right on the dot. I wouldn't have known that.
That's okay.
20 o'clock.
20 o'clock.
22 o'clock. Beep.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a premium interior paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.